now I see there's the Baudouins, there's the Bakers, there's the Maystons, and how extended the family is through their children, and I'm just so grateful for that. So that's my big thing, is just being thankful for that. And God has answered prayer, and but there are things that I cannot share with, but I'm very thankful for that too. And I also, with the body, I want to thank how many of you guys have come up to me this morning and asked about my sister. And I really, really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. I've been wrestling in 2017 with employment, and I continue to wrestle with that. However, I am confident that God will guide me and lead me in the direction that He wants me to go. Also, about a year ago, my brother had a stroke, and he's recovering slowly. It's not only impacted him, but also the rest of the family members. And my mother, about a month ago or so, they found a growth in one of her internal organs, and she doesn't want to go in and get the biopsy done because she's afraid of what doctors might find. So if I could just ask your prayers for my brother and my mother and family. Thank you.
Okay. You know, let's pray for that right now. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to bring all our requests to you. Lord, thank you that you are present in this family. Lord, I don't know the relationship that Leon's brother and mother have with you, but Lord, I pray for his mom, that you would remove fear from her life. Because not knowing means you can't deal with it. And Lord, we've seen this happen in the decisions that people make before. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just give her a peace to trust you and to take the steps that she needs to take to deal with this. Lord, thank you for the measure of recovery that's happened with Leon's brother. And I just pray that you would bring him back to full health. Lord, we put all of these things into your hands, in asking you that you'd be in and with this family in a special way. And for Leon too, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to guide him. Thank you for the work that he has had. And Lord, I just pray that for the work as a teacher that he's gifted and passionate about, Lord, I pray that you would open the right door for him. And we just thank you for what you are going to do in this situation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share a situation that my wife and I has just recently arisen for us, and then I'm going to ask if there'd be somebody who'd be willing to pray for that. We have next door neighbors, Chris and Donna Lee, and we've gotten to know them a little bit. We've visited with them and had a few chats with them. Chris had two daughters from his first marriage, one who's 19, and the youngest one was about 13, 14. Just a little over a month ago, the youngest daughter, who was living with them most of the time, was at her mom's place, and she's suffered from seizures for a number of years, and things were better now than they had been for a long time. But some things went wrong, and they didn't get her to the hospital in time, and she died. She had just started going to an evangelical church in Leduc as part of the youth group. She'd given her life to the Lord about 2 months ago, was excited about being part of this youth group. Donna Lee's a Christian. Chris was not up until that point. It hit them obviously very, very hard. I ran into them twice in different locations, and the last time was just on Friday morning and had a chance to chat with them a little bit and ask them how they were doing. And he said, it's really, really tough, and I'm having a hard time with the whole area of forgiving. And so I mentioned one of the things I do in each of the churches that I'm in, which I'm about to start next Sunday, is to work on the whole series of forgiveness and what that means. And so he's going to listen to those online, and then after they're done in February sometime, we're going to get together and chat. And Deborah's going to be looking after their place while they're gone for a while, and they're going to look after our place while we're gone later on. So God's building something there. But you can see that God was working in his heart, because he was talking in a much softer and different way than he had ever talked before. So I would appreciate your prayers. That's one of the hardest situations, is dealing with helping someone deal with the loss of a child. Our kids are not supposed to die before us. That's just one of the things that's hardwired into our brains. And they're one of the toughest situations that there is out there. So I appreciate a prayer for that. So is there somebody who could pray for Deborah and I for that situation? Yeah, please, Ryan.
Father, I just want to pray for Pastor Dieter and Deborah right now, Lord, as they have this opportunity to do an incredible work in someone else's life. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would work through them, Holy Spirit, that you would lead and direct their conversation and their actions over this next little while, Lord, and that you would just soften the hearts, and that these people would be willing to just be formed into the likeness of your Son, Father. We thank you that you are the only way that we can forgive, Lord, is because you have forgiven us, Lord. So I just pray for that and the relationship that's going to develop because of this situation, Lord. And I just pray for comfort for them also, Lord, as they grieve the loss of their daughter, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I certainly don't want to cut it short. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Somebody.
Oh, it's less nerve-wracking behind the drums. So some of you know, some of you don't know. Oh, I'm gonna cry. I had 2 miscarriages within a year, so I had to go in for a test. If any of you ever need that test, though, like, take a bunch of drugs, because it hurts a lot. So the test came back. We don't have any issues that way. So the next treatment is to take some pills. So if you could just pray for us, either God's will to have our own child or to adopt a child, just that we would feel peace with whatever way we go there. And then my mom, they discovered some cancer on her leg. And so she has to go in for surgery in January. And I already have a grandpa, a grandma, and an aunt and an uncle who died from cancer. So it's kind of something that runs in my family. So if we could just lift her up and pray for her, and just that the healing will be quick. They just have to take out a chunk of skin from her leg. But she's not allowed to walk for 7 days. And lots of you don't know my mom, but she has 8 kids and 16 grandkids, and she runs a bakery, and she's a home care aide, so she doesn't stop. So I'm pretty sure my dad's going to have to, like, duct tape her to a chair or something. But, yeah, so if you could just pray for quick healing for her, and just a steady hand for the doctor that's doing the surgery for her, that would be great.
Is there someone who'd be willing to pray for Esther and her mom? Someone who'd be willing to do that? It's coming from behind you, Doug.
I was hoping that he didn't see me. No, not really. So let's just pray for Esther and her family. Father, we thank you for Esther, for her willingness to share. We pray, Lord, that they, as they attempt and try to get children, and we just pray for your grace and mercy upon them, and the patience that's required for that. We just pray for her mother. Pray for her as the surgeon does the surgery. Give her the grace to know that she's in your hands, and that peace with the family as well for this situation. We thank you, give you praise, give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And while I got this thing, I am very thankful for Dieter for his coming and taking over from Tracy, and so we don't really have a big opening there. I appreciate his willingness to come to this northern community. Not really, but I appreciate you coming. And I'm going to find it challenging this year. Somebody decided that I'm capable of being a board member. I paid a lot of people to vote me out, and nobody took my money and did it. No, not seriously. But so it's going to be a challenge for me because I like to be in the background and not be in the forefront. So please pray for me, and I guess the board itself. And is the drugs just turning your hair blue?
Awesome. Thanks, folks. I want us to look at a passage in the book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 3. At the first part through the first six verses, Paul is talking about the fact that there are people who are saying, hey, you have to do these things like circumcision, and there are other rules that you have to follow to be accepted by God. Basically, people who are tying their faith to the earthly works and the things that we do. And Paul says, hey, if anybody would have confidence in earthly things, it would be me. And he goes on to list all the religious requirements that he's fulfilled and how, on human terms, he is somebody who should be highly regarded and up there in the kingdom. But then we start at verse 7, and we're going to read through to the end of verse 15. Philippians chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That far God's word this morning. As we think back on 2017 and as we look ahead to 2018, we need to have some realizations. For some of you, this last year was a tough year, and you might feel like you're behind where you were at the beginning of the year, that this has been a year of loss. It may be financial, it may be relationship-wise, it may be health-wise. Someone in your family or a close friend may have died. It may have been a year where there was more loss than gain, and you feel like you'd like to go back to the beginning of 2017 because it was better than the end of 2017. Some of you, it's been a good year where things have grown, things have increased, your relationships have improved. God has been doing some neat things in those areas, and so you have much to thank God for, and you're looking forward to what's ahead for 2018. But regardless of how you feel when you look back at the past, there's some things here that talk about life in general and some of the attitudes that we need to have. The first thing I want you to see in verses 7 and 8 here is that losing something doesn't make me a loser. Losing something doesn't make me a loser. If I lose my health, if I lose my job, if some other things go wrong, it doesn't make me personally a loser. I'm not someone who other people should be looking down at because of the things that have gone wrong in my life. As a matter of fact, those difficult things often help us to rearrange our priorities. And sometimes our priorities have gotten kind of skewed. The priorities we need to live for are that we are to live for God, we are to love people, and we are simply to like the things that we have that are around us. And yet, we see a world that works very much the opposite way. They want to love the things that they have, and those become most important to them. I just saw a headline. I didn't read the whole story. It was, you often get a list of things on news feeds, and someone started a fire in someone's house over an argument over $20. It's things that become so very, very important. Loss and suffering can also have benefits because we need to understand that God is behind all those. He allows those, that it often brings good fruit, and it teaches us lessons that we need to know. Paul says in these verses, whatever were gains to me, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. Everything is a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. He's talking about a relationship view, not that the things in and were garbage in and of themselves, but comparatively wise to knowing Christ, to having Him as the Lord and Savior of his life. Paul just said, it's amazing. There's nothing else that can touch it. Nothing else even comes close. And so whatever I lose, whatever in human terms seems like a loss, is not really, because I am gaining more and more of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says this, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. These things that come have come for a purpose. And when our faith grows because of them, man, we're building into an eternal kingdom. We're building up treasure in heaven. None of the stuff that we have, none of the stuff that seems so important to us, our job titles, our bank accounts, our RRSP portfolios, we're not taking any of that stuff with us. But all that we build in our relationship with Christ is going to be part of our relationship with Him for all eternity. And so when loss and difficulty and suffering come, how do you see it? Now, does that mean we are called to enjoy it and say, wow, this is awesome, I'm so glad this happened? No. That would be rather foolish. But when we compare it to what we've gained and learned, then yes, our reaction to that is a gladness of a kind, because of what we've gained because of it. I know the most difficult ministry that I ever went through in my church life and ministry, I would never ever want to go through it again, but I wouldn't want to go back and somehow wipe it out or make it go away, because what God taught us during that time was absolutely amazing, and we probably wouldn't have learned any other way. And so it was a good thing. Even though Satan meant it for evil, God has the ability to turn those things around and use them for good. It's amazing how He does that. One of the ways in which that can happen, we see in verse 9. And we see here that humility trumps hard work. We are to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's a humility that understands that all I have in my relationship with God comes from Him. It's not based on anything that I have done. It's not based on the amount of money I put in the offering. It's not based on how many positions I hold in church. It's not based on any of this other stuff. It's based on His grace and His love for me. It's a humility that we are called to have and to display and to understand. And simply, humbly, gratefully accepting takes us far into a far better place in relationship with God than all the hard work we may do. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't going to call us to do some work and to do some hard things, but that's not what's building our relationship with Him. It's that humility in the relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this: "We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise." The result, neither of those is a good result, because both get my eyes off of the real standard. See, if we compare ourselves with those who are doing things better, whatever adjective you want to use, than what we are, and you can always find someone who's doing better, financially, spiritually, whatever measure you want to use, you can always find somebody who's doing better. You compare yourself with that person, and there's a false sense of who you are that comes into that, because it's not measuring your real relationship with Christ. You can also find someone who's lower down the scale on an earthly point than you. You can always find someone who says, well, it's like the Pharisee who was saying, God, I'm glad I'm not like other people. We can always find those other people who are quote-unquote below us. But that doesn't help. That doesn't help, because it gives us a false sense of who we are. There's only one standard we're called to measure ourselves against, and that's Jesus. And the only way we can measure ourselves in that standard is to come to Him humbly and accept His grace and mercy, because we realize that no matter what we do, we're never going to match up. But we are called to become like Him, because we have that relationship with Him. We trust more and more, and we cling to grace. Paul recognized that intimacy with Christ didn't come through self-effort or hard work. It came through a humble faith in God. And as we look back on 2017 or past that, as we look back at those things, we need to recognize what God's been teaching us and blessing us with in those times, and then use that humbly as we go forward to trust Him for the future. That's the privilege that we have as Christians. And that's tied in then to the gospel message. Verses 10 and 11 remind us that we still need the gospel. Paul says, I want to know Christ, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying here that Jesus' death and resurrection mean everything. It's living in the knowledge of that, in the power of that, that's important to me, and I still need that. Not just as someone who does not have a relationship with God needs that, but we who already have that relationship with God need that, and we need to understand that that's what sustains us. That's what takes us through to the next level, to the next place that God wants to work in our hearts. Paul says this: if you want the power of the resurrection, you've got to be acquainted with the cross and the tomb. No crucifixion, no resurrection. He didn't minimize the cost. There is a cost for us to pay, but it's so worth it. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus' words. Then He said to them, He being Jesus, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. But whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? That simply means, God, what's your priority for today? And if that messes up my plan, so be it. What's your priority for today? It was, and it's interesting how those can pop up in the middle of nowhere. And how we need to recognize those opportunities and those situations when they come, when we have to make a decision of whether we're going to do the right thing or the easy thing. Friday about 4 o'clock, my wife was downstairs and she came upstairs and she said, "The furnace is making funny noises." I went, "Great." And she says, "It keeps turning on and off, on and off, on and off." I went downstairs. Well, it wasn't the furnace, and we're grateful for that. But the house has one of those new high-efficiency hot water heaters, and they have a motor on it. The motor was going on and off and on and off. We couldn't get anybody on Friday night. Somebody came out yesterday. And after being there for over 3 hours, what should have been a half an hour job, he was like, "I give up." And there's someone else that he works with that's an electrical guy that he's bringing over today. And he said, "You know what I should do?" He said, "I should just send a report that says the tank is cracked and we'll just get him to put in a new tank." My first reaction was, "Sounds like a plan." And it was, "Hang on, that's a lie. Not a good plan." But it was there just like that. And so I had a choice when I opened my mouth what I was going to say. I said, "Well, I'd rather not lie." And he goes, "Yeah, okay." But it would have been easier for him to do it the other way. And we would have had a brand new tank and all of the... But the temptation was there. Now, I don't say that to lift myself up, but to remind us of how easy it is to fall into those situations. That wasn't anything that I planned, and that was just something that popped up, and it was an advantage for me. And, I mean, we live in a world, after all, that says, hey, if you've got an advantage, if you can take advantage of something, take advantage of something. I still need the gospel. I still need the gospel when I'm dealing with a hot water repair guy. Not just here in church on Sunday morning. And you need it in those situations that you're dealing with other people too, because now you have an opportunity to have a consistency of faith. I know some of the conversations that my wife and I have had with Donna Lee is some of what has led to the fact that we have the opportunity to have this conversation now with Chris in the future. We never know when and how God is going to use those things, but we have to have that focus on this is the most important thing. And God's going to take care of the rest of that stuff. God's going to take care of the rest of that stuff. And then in the final verses, verses 12 through 15, I've simply entitled that, "Never Give Up Hope." Never give up hope. Paul says here, "Not that I have already attained all of this or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And then I love this. It's almost like a throwaway where in the next sentence he says, "All of us then who are mature should take such a view of those things. And if on some things you think differently, that too God will make clear to you." Basically, if you disagree with me, just meditate on it a while and God will straighten you out. That's basically what Paul's saying in that situation. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Keep straining. Keep working. If you feel like you're not getting where you need to get to, that's part of what the body is here for. The body is here to help each other, to care for each other. I appreciate the fact that Esther had the courage to stand up and share what she's going through right now. so that we can pray for her and Craig, and that as God makes the plan clear, we can support them in whatever they're going to do next in this family adventure that God has for them. And we don't know which direction God is going to take them in this, but they know, I hope they know, that they've got a church family that's going to be with them in whichever direction they go. And that's what we're here for. That's why we never give up hope, because we continue to strive towards it, but we don't do it alone. We don't do it isolated in a back corner somewhere. We do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 say this: Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. They had faith that God was going to bring a Messiah, and they hadn't seen the Messiah. We have the result of that promise. The birth of Christ, his death and resurrection are part of our history. They're not something we have to look forward to. And so we know that this has happened. Now, in the same way in which they were able to look forward to a Messiah, we look forward to what God is going to do in our hearts and in our lives, that we are to be patient and persistent, remembering the lessons that God has taught us and using those lessons in life going forward. That's a scriptural principle that's there all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. How God calls us to remember, to learn, and to move ahead and to grow. Do you realize that God is actually working hard on your behalf for this to happen? He is using his Spirit to speak to you, or to try and speak to you if you're willing to listen, to guide you into what's going on in the days and weeks and months that are ahead. For you on an individual basis, for us as a church, he already knows who's going to show up as the pastor here. And sometimes when I'm sitting in my office, I'm just thinking, you know, God, if you just write it on the wall or send an email to the district office, let them know and they can tell us, it would just simplify this whole process so much. But one of the joys of this process is that we learn in a new way, in a greater way, to trust God together for what he's going to do. And so that when your new pastor comes, we have an assurance that we've heard what God has said, and we have the man and his family who's going to be here for the next number of years to give leadership and shepherding to this congregation. That's the exciting part of it. We can be patient and persistent, knowing that God is at work. So we look forward to 2018. There's three verses that I want to leave with you, or three sections of Scripture that I want to leave with you as we go into 2018 for you to think about and to meditate on. The first one is Romans chapter 8, 29. Now, we often read 8:28, which is the passage that tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God. This is the verse that comes after, and he says this, verse 29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." For those God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. If you're a believer here this morning, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God is conforming you to the image of his Son. That's his plan, that's his desire, that's his heart. You are being made into the image of Christ. Think about that for a minute. And no, that doesn't mean we're little Christs who have some kind of weird magical power. It does mean, though, that we have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and we are being conformed to his image. And so what God is going to ask you to do this year is part of that process. And even the hard things are part of the process of becoming conformed in that way. Romans 8:29. 2 Corinthians 3:18. For we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Again, another way of saying the same thing, another reminder. We're being transformed into his image. It's not because of who we are, it's because of who he is. It's when we humbly accept that and allow his Spirit to work in our lives. And then finally, going back earlier into Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, Paul writes this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Those verses all remind us that we're on a journey when we're on a journey together. And it's a wonderful promise that he has for us. It's an amazing perspective to have coming into the new year. When you're wrestling with something, when you're wondering what's next, when you're praying about something, one of the questions you need to be asking and then listening for the Holy Spirit to answer is, what decision in this area is going to help me to grow to be more like Christ? How is God going to use this to transform me? And sometimes that makes the decision of what we're going to say or what we're going to do very, very easily. Do we tell a lie and get a new free water heater? Or do we go through the issue of, this is going to cost me some money, but what happens if I get a chance to witness to this guy and to share my faith with this guy and he knows that I was involved in telling a lie? I've just messed everything completely up. We have those privileges, we have those opportunities. And I can think back on the times in my life when I made the wrong decision. And I can't go back and redo that, but I can learn from those and I can choose different in the future, knowing that he is conforming me to the image of his son. And he's allowing those things to come into my life to make that happen. And that's, as a believer, where I want to be. It's his glory. It's his will that we seek. And as we move into 2018, that's my prayer for you as individuals, for us as a congregation, that we would be seeking God's glory and God's truth and God's direction in all that we do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that Paul, who was highly educated and highly placed, who had everything that most people could want in terms of power and authority and prestige in the world, set all of that aside and humbled himself at your feet. That as he was on the road to Damascus and you appeared to him and he saw your glory and saw you for who you really were, he fell to his knees in worship and awe. Thank you, Lord, that you used him to write so much of the New Testament to us. And Lord, I just pray that we would be men and women who would take the time to read and to learn and to apply the truths that you have put into your word for us. And that we would be men and women who recognize that our purpose here on this earth is to serve you, to love you, to be molded into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to come to this earth as a babe in a manger, as we've just celebrated, to live among us, to die and then to rise again in power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for infilling us and for speaking to us through our stubborn hearts and through our stubborn minds and gently continuing to call. And that as we yield to you, to shower us with more and more grace and blessing. So thank you for what you have done in the year that is past. Thank you for what you are going to do in the year that is ahead. And Lord, we just pray that our faith in you would grow in new ways throughout this coming year, that your name might be honored and glorified. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.